I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 259. All right, jumping right in. Another spooky story from Liz. Hey, ladies, I found some time to jot down a few more stories that I remembered. One is about a religious vision I had when I was younger, and another about a staff member who was sensitive to spirits. I hope you enjoy them. Story 1, The Star Lady. When I was about 3 years old, I saw a religious vision in the sky over my grandparents' house. I remember parts of this, and my mother documented it in a baby book that she kept throughout the years of my early life. This had to have happened in July, shortly after the 4th of July. My maternal grandparents only lived about half an hour away, so we visited them often. They lived on 10 acres in rural Pennsylvania. The house was on the frontage acre closest to the road. There was a barn about midway across the property and some pasture behind the barn and to the left of the barn. They did have a neighbor that lived to the left of them, but other than that, their road was pretty isolated. Their house was a ranch-style house, and the kitchen had a really large window that looked out over the pasture and the barn. I remember my parents and I driving up to the house. It was nighttime. I thought I saw some fireworks in the sky behind their house. I ran into the house into that kitchen window. I climbed up on a chair so I could get a better look. In the sky above the pasture, I saw a huge picture filling the sky. You know how the sky is dark, but there was this very large navy blue field in the sky above the barn, almost like a flag that stretched for my entire line of vision. On the flag was what I knew to be the Virgin Mary holding the baby Jesus. Now, I was raised Catholic, so this imagery was very familiar to me. I knew what I was looking at. The woman was on the left side of the picture and had a silver star around her head. The baby was on the right side of the picture being held by the woman, and he had gold stars surrounding his head. The picture was almost rippling and moving slightly as if caught by a breeze. I remember asking my parents if what I was looking at was fireworks. Hence why I believe this happened in July. My parents and my grandparents asked me what I was looking at. I told them that I was looking at the Star Lady holding a baby. My grandparents and parents came to the same window that I was looking out of, but looked out over the back acres of the property and said that they didn't see anything in the sky. I couldn't believe it. It took up the entire sky. This vision lasted a few minutes, and I don't know if I stepped away from the window and was done looking at it or if it vanished. But my parents said that every time we would go to my grandparents' house and it was at night, I always asked if I would see the Star Lady. Years later, when I was about middle school, I saw some Russian Orthodox icons that looked exactly like the picture I saw in the sky. Story 2, Sensitive to Spirits. I worked in housing and residence life at the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia, about 7 years ago. As part of my job, I received an on-campus apartment in the housing complex that I directly supervised. I moved across campus from a typical style residence hall to an apartment complex. The apartment complex consisted of 10 separate buildings of apartments, with one of the buildings connected to the office building, which contained my apartment. The resident advisor of the building that was connected to my apartment building had only ever been a resident advisor in that building. She was very familiar with it. My now husband had once supervised this apartment complex and knew this resident advisor very well. He knew I was interested in ghosts and spirits and other spooky things, so he said I'd probably enjoy getting to know Sarah, the resident advisor. The school year began, the resident advisor staff returned to campus, and I began getting to know my new staff team. Part of this was having one-on-one meetings. I met with Sarah for our one-on-one in my private office, which was in the same building as my apartment. We were just chatting, and I was asking her how her previous supervisor ran things in the complex and whether she thought things should be changed or improved. Sarah was very sweet and fun, but kind of had a Wednesday Addams vibe about her, which some people find off-putting. While we were speaking, Sarah totally unprovoked said to me, "When Carl moved into this apartment," referencing her former supervisor, "he brought a negative black spirit with him that followed him everywhere. Do you want to know what follows you?" I was a little taken aback, and I told her that I did not want to know. I had had some family members die and was still trying to overcome that grief, so I really didn't want to know about anything like that at that point in time. However, I did ask her if the apartment complex was haunted and what she knew about that. She said that she knew her apartment was haunted with a Civil War soldier. Please note that the University of Mary Washington is one street away from the Fredericksburg battlefield, where an important battle of the American Civil War was fought. relics from the war have been unearthed on campus, and the university's president's house was used as a military hospital. You can still see bullet holes in the house from the battle, so it makes sense that it would be haunted. She said that overnight, the ghost in her apartment would open up all the cabinets in the kitchen repeatedly. Eventually, she and her roommates, upon leaving the apartment to go to class, would announce to the ghost that they expected all the cabinets' doors to be shut upon their return later that afternoon. And they always were. Sarah also said that she once saw him standing in the hallway of their apartment. Story number 3, an actual haunted house. To branch off the story I just told you, I have another story about the University of Mary Washington. The building that my office was in was an actual house on campus. The bottom floor that had previously been living quarters had been redesigned as a reception area, the dean of students' office, a conference room, and there was a small copy room on the back porch next to the kitchen. Up the main staircase to the second floor, there were 5 rooms that probably had been bedrooms at some point. Several of the rooms actually still had fireplaces in them. This house just looked like it was haunted. After working there for about 6 months, I started asking my colleagues if it was haunted. After all, we were near a Civil War battlefield and artifacts had been discovered on campus, so it only makes sense. Nobody really ever confirmed or denied my questions. That fall, I was working on a committee with my boss and one of my colleagues. For some reason, we had to meet on a Sunday afternoon to prepare something for Monday. My boss and I met in her office, which is on the second floor, and the window overlooked the sidewalk that led from the main walk on campus to our building. That would be the way that our colleague would be approaching the building. He was running late, and we were on the lookout. There was also a back entrance, but knowing where his apartment was, it wouldn't make sense if he used that entrance. Just a few minutes later, we heard the front door open and close, and you had to have a key to enter this door. Only people that had a key were members of our office staff and campus police. First, we thought it was our missing colleague. We expected to hear his footsteps on the first part of the staircase, cross the landing, and climb the remaining 4 steps. We didn't hear footsteps or see him reach the top of the staircase. My boss called out our colleague's name, and there was no response. My boss called out a few names of campus police officers, and there was no response either. Strangely enough, the door didn't open or close again, denoting that the person had left. Plus, if the person had left, we'd have seen them exiting out the front of the building. I looked at my boss. She was only a few years older than me, and she looked white as a sheet. I knew she was trying to keep it together and be professional. I said to her, "I knew this place was haunted." A few minutes later, we saw our colleague walking up the sidewalk to the building. We heard the key in the lock. The door swung open, then shut. We heard our colleague climb up the first part of the stairs, cross the landing, up the remaining 4 steps onto the second floor. It was definitely him, and he was wondering why we were acting so strange. We explained what had just happened. He said he was not surprised. This colleague would often spend late nights in the offices because he was also taking classes during the day, so he would do his work at night. He said he frequently heard weird bangs and sounds coming from downstairs when he was in his office. My boss also chimed in with the story of how she was working late at the office. One of the quirks of the building was that the light switch to turn off the lights on the first floor was near the staircase. Depending on the time of the day, you had to turn the lights off, then walk about 10 feet through the pitch dark, past the reception area on the right and the dean of students' office on the left, to the front door before exiting the building. My boss said that happened to her one day, and as soon as she hit the light switch, she ran across the lobby and swore that she thought there was something sitting in the reception area, but she couldn't bring herself to look. She whipped open the door and slammed it behind her. Besides this incident, I did have a brief paranormal experience while in that house. It was over spring break. Many of the students were gone, and I was in the office catching up on some work on the weekend. As I mentioned before, there was a porch on the first floor that had been converted into a room with a copy machine and extra paper. While working that afternoon, I swear I kept hearing footsteps on that little porch and bangings like people were moving things around on the shelves or lifting the copy machine lid. Needless to say, I did not investigate, and I left the house while it was still daylight. Thank you so much for reading these stories. I hope you enjoyed them. Creep it real, and it's okay to get scared every once in a while. Sincerely, Liz. I wonder what that religious vision meant. Like, because it wasn't like telling you anything. They were just there. Like, it wasn't like it was like, what's the word where it projects the future?
Prophetic?
No. Like, it didn't tell you the future. There's a word. I can't think of it. But like, it didn't tell you the future. It just was being like, hey, yo, we're here. You know?
Yeah.
What the hell did that mean?
Well, and then I was like, I mean, I would think that that would give you comfort, but you don't really comfort there. You weren't, you know, like you weren't not in a good place or anything
you're a kid, which I mean, kids cannot be a good place, but like, you know what I mean? And that university sounds haunted as fuck.
Yeah, well, one, the name's like Mary Washington, and that just sounds like it's going to be haunted.
Well, also, I want to know what that person saw around you. Like, see, I can't not know. Like, I get that you were in a bad place. Well, this time you were in a bad place. You couldn't. But like, I'm also like, what you fucking saw? Like, I got to know.
Also, can she tell me who followed me around?
I know. I'm like, why can't I encounter someone like this that can tell me what they see? What color is my aura and who do you see around me?
Look, we're needy, okay?
Y'all, Miracle Mate is back and we are so excited to have these amazing sheets and bedding supporting this podcast because we love Miracle Mate.
They don't only support our podcast, they support our sleeping habits because Miracle Mate sheets are the best to sleep in. They are super soft, super luxurious, and, you know, temperature regulating.
Legitimately, Colby and I got in bed the other night, and he was like, these aren't the sheets. I was like, no, they're different ones. Like, he knew that it was different sheets because he was like, these are hot. These are hot and itchy. And I was like, I'm sorry. It's, you know.
So it's
like,
wash day.
Yeah, well, guess we got to buy another set of sheets to, you know, switch them out.
Yeah. Well, because sleep makes such a difference in the next day. Like, you might think, oh, no, I'm okay. I can function on a little bit of sleep. But once you have that good night's sleep, it really does affect your mental health, your well-being, just even your productivity the next day.
So what makes Miracle Mate bedding and sheets so amazing is that, well, one, they're super smart because they're inspired by NASA and they use silver-infused fabrics that make them temperature regulating. So you can sleep at that perfect temperature all night long. And the other part that's like just as good, but it doesn't affect my actual sleep as much, unless you think about it before you go to sleep. But regular bed sheets can have more bacteria on them than a toilet seat. And that's freaking gross. So think about what this does to you. Acne, allergies, runny nose, all the things. It's just nasty. Well, Miracle Mate is self-cleaning. Antibacterial bedding, like the sheets, pillowcases, comforters, all that jazz, that prevents 99.7% of bacterial growth. You know what that means?
3 times less laundry. And that not only saves you from having to do laundry, also your monthly savings on your water bill, your electric bill, all of that.
The benefits of Miracle Mate just keeps going more and more and more.
Because you know what? They're miracles. But seriously, Miracle Mate sheets are the best sheets I've ever slept on. And I don't know about you, normally I really would be hot and sticky and feel gross when I woke up from a night's sleep. Never with Miracle Mate sheets because I don't have that. Like, I'm not sweaty. I'm not anything. I am the perfect temperature all night long. There's no waking up, you know, needing to switch the pillow over or any of that.
And Miracle Mate sheets are luxurious, but they don't have that super high price tag that you would expect from like a luxury brand. So you are getting all the bang for your buck or all the Z's for your buck.
Ooh.
Lame, I know. But, I felt it in my bones because I'm, well rested.
Mm-hmm. Sleep is her love language.
That's a fact. And if you want to speak the same language as me, you've got to try Miracle Mate bedding. Head on over to trymiracle.com/creep to try Miracle sheets today. Whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use the promo code CREEP at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
We know you're going to love them. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Mate. Go to trymiracle.com/creep and use the code CREEP to claim your 3-piece towel set and save over 40%.
Again, that is trymiracle.com/creep to treat yourself. And thank you so much to Miracle Mate for sponsoring this episode. Okay, the next one. This is Close Encounter. Hey, y'all, I've been wanting to email you guys this story and finally have the time. So here's a little backstory. I was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, and currently still reside here. My dad is also a Jacksonville native and recently recounted a story from his youth that gave me the creeps. I'm going to change some names for privacy reasons of the two main characters of this story. It was around 1978, and my dad's high school friend named James was picking up his sister from the local middle school. We'll call her Janet. James is running a little late to pick her up, so Janet crossed the road from her middle school to the Kmart parking lot, where her brother would normally be waiting for Janet in his truck. Janet noticed that James wasn't there yet. Suddenly, she was summoned by a man in a van to come closer to his van as he needed some directions. Just as Janet was inching toward the van to give him directions, her brother James pulls up next to Janet, telling her to get inside the truck. James sensed that something was wrong with this man who was asking his sister for directions. James got Janet into his truck and then got out of the driver's seat and approached the man in the van. The man instantly became uncomfortable as James asked him what directions he needed and that he could help him find his way. The man said he figured it out himself and really didn't need any assistance. With that, James got back in his truck with his sister and drove away. But he couldn't shake this interaction with the man. He told my dad about the encounter a few days later. My dad never forgot this story because soon after, Kimberly Leash was found dead after having been kidnapped by Ted Bundy near her Tallahassee middle school. She was his youngest victim, just 12 years old. Soon after, Ted Bundy was apprehended by the police in Pensacola, Florida. Before he was arrested, he also attacked and killed two women in the Chi Omega sorority house in Tallahassee and injured two other women in this attack. When he was finally apprehended, James told my dad that that was the same man who approached his sister Janet in the Kmart parking lot. They assumed that Bundy was on the hunt for his next victim that day. Needless to say, James arrived just in time to pick his sister Janet up from that parking lot. Thankfully, James trusted his instinct to protect his sister and was able to get a good look at the man who was in the van. James also disclosed an encounter to his father, who was the head detective of the Jacksonville Police Department at the time. Unfortunately, Bundy was already on the run by the time action was taken to find him. But who knows, maybe this tip helped him get caught sooner down the line. A little fun fact, I live less than a mile away from the former Kmart parking lot, which is now an Amazon warehouse. As an extra large pizza myself, I used to love going to that Kmart because they had Little Caesar's pizza inside of the Kmart. Nothing like munching on some crazy bread as you're forced to go shopping with your mom. Anyway, stay safe out there and trust your instincts and go ahead. Eat some crazy bread so it makes you harder to kidnap. Love y'all, Holly. Holy crap. Okay, when I read Close Encounter, I was thinking aliens. But then, again, just like Carrie's stories, real life is always scarier than my stories, you know? Frickin' Ted Bundy. And I'm so glad that James got there when he did. But it makes sense, too. Apparently, I'm just talking to myself here.
No, I know. I'm just thinking, sorry. I'm just like, could you imagine? That's so scary.
But it makes sense if it was Ted Bundy that she would approach the van and not feel really weird about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was, quote, like the everyday guy and he.
Right.
Whatever. He didn't look like the creeper in the van. So she might not have been so like.
She was put at ease.
Yeah. And I freaking love crazy bread.
Me too. That's the best thing Little Caesars has. Okay, the next one. Hi again, fellow creepsters. I just listened to Sinister Sightings episode 240, almost a week late, but Thanksgiving weekend was busy for me. Anywho, there was a story about someone's experience in Savannah, Georgia, and it reminded me to send in my experiences in St. Augustine and New Orleans. I'll be taking a trip to Savannah, Georgia in March, so I'll send in my experiences there too. St. Augustine, September of 23. So I talked about it in the Facebook group with pictures, but I wanted to share it here also with a little more detail. The weekend we went, there was apparently a music festival or something like that going on, and it was a little more crowded than normal. So for me, I'm sensitive to energies, and when I'm in a crowded area, I can't pick up one specific energy. It's like I try to hear one person whisper in a large crowd of chattering people, or the mental equivalent of being in a vehicle that has a bass system that rattles the windows, yourself and everything around you. Anyway, it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. So we went on a ghost tour on Friday night, and the first stop was a Christmas store that's said to be haunted. I think right now it's called Perky Pelican Christmas Shop. My experience here wasn't so unusual for me. The only feeling I got was that someone was watching me from the inside. But honestly, it felt like everywhere I turned, someone was watching me, so I brushed it off. I took 3 photos in a row, like they suggest. 1 was nothing, and 2 was a side profile, and 3 a full face. I will say the eyes looked too big, almost cartoonish, and my boyfriend thinks it's a reflection from one of the Christmas dolls inside. But I didn't see any dolls that looked like that. So my boyfriend, who is a major skeptic in the paranormal, the one I'm sure he has some sort of psychic ability, kept giving me weird looks at that house, and I could tell he was not liking it there. I thought it was because he was disinterested, but he told me later that he did not like the house because as soon as we stopped there, he started getting a headache and felt sick and shaky like he had low blood sugar. And when he was thinking to himself he must be hungry, the guide told the story about the first time he went into the house and had to leave because he started feeling very sick and shaky and like he was going to pass out. He said as soon as we walked off, he started to feel better. The next few stops were cemeteries, and my only experience there was that I had constant chills at them, even though it was 80 degrees. My friend took an interesting picture that looks like a little girl with pigtail buns. I shared that one to Facebook too, but I later debunked it to it just being the tombstone, and it looks a bit blurry. It's still weird that you can see something so clearly in a blurry or pixelated photo sometimes. None of my graveyard photos came out to be anything. On Saturday, we went to a few places and had a good time. The only place we went that's said to be haunted is a lighthouse, and it's said to have 14 ghosts, but good Lord, I think a ghost could have been walking right next to me and I wouldn't have noticed because I was fighting for my own life climbing up that thing. I was trying to focus on not being ghost number 15. Talk about being sore the next day, but it was worth it. And you best believe my ass got a picture up there too. New Orleans, November of 23. So I want to preface this by saying we didn't do anything spooky, but I wanted to talk about my experience with the energy and the people there. So the Airbnb we got was only a mile from the French Quarter. And when we first arrived to New Orleans, I started to get a headache, which by the time we picked out our rooms became a migraine. Luckily for me, I have medicine for that. And after it kicked in, my head was feeling better. However, I felt a very deep sadness there that first night. It took me until I started drinking and exploring Bourbon Street to no longer feel that way. Don't get me wrong. New Orleans has so many energies and liveliness, but it felt surface level compared to the sadness I felt. Saturday was better, but I was a bit overwhelmed and irritated. And Sunday felt a little brighter and like I was adjusting to the different energies and I could feel them more individually. Oh, but I forgot to mention that on Friday night, while we were there trying to enjoy a meal, a very drunk man sitting at the bar behind us threatened my boyfriend to hide his body in the swamp with the others. There's not much to the story, honestly. We kind of just ignored him, and when he realized he wasn't getting a response, he moved along to harass another couple and then got kicked out. I'm not sure if he actually has bodies in the swamp somewhere or if he was just another drunk man full of shit. All in all, I enjoyed both places and would love to go back, but if you're sensitive like me, I would sure prep before going to New Orleans. I felt much more negative energy there. I'm not hating on NOLA by any means, but that was just my experience.
I am gullible when it comes to photos because I'm like, yeah, I totally see it every time.
Well, and what's that thing where your face, where your eyes want to see a face or make sense of something?
Yeah.
I could just hear Michael Arroyo screaming at me on Facebook right now being like, this is what it's called. Basically, though, you want to make sense of things. So what you see, your brain's going to be like, oh, that's a face or, oh, that's a car or whatever, because it has to process it in the way it can.
So I was on Zoom with my coworkers one day that I was off because that's who I am. And look, I have no one at home. If Marley was there, maybe I would be talking to her. But I'm like, oh, okay, they're on Zoom. I'll get on Zoom and do my thing. Well, I had to do something and they had wanted to see like my house. And I took them to the half bath and I was like, yeah, this is it. And then I was like, but right here is a clown that I'll look at every time I poop. Because it's like these two birds that it just looks like a freaking clown's hair on the side.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I can actually see that. I was like, every time my eyes go right there and I think about that damn clown.
Okay, two things about that story. Well, three, really. One, that you made this about you. Two, that, by the by, y'all, she has wallpaper. She's not just talking about random birds.
Oh.
And three, why do you poop in your half bath? You don't go to your bathroom in your room?
No, because I'm usually at my in my office and it's just closer.
Why wouldn't you use the other bathroom then?
Because that's weird because it's my dad's bathroom.
I would go to my bathroom. Like, even if...
It's on the other side of the thing.
I would still go there.
Ma'am, I don't have time during the day.
It's literally 20 extra steps.
I'm over my allotment of time to poop anyway.
I want to go to St. Augustine. Wait, have I been? I think I may have been, actually.
I don't feel like you have.
No, I think I went to this university. I did something there for school one time.
Oh.
No, I have been there. JK.
Well, you want to go there and actually see it.
Yeah, I just went to the university and left.
Well, and like you probably didn't think about any of the like history didn't and even all know. Of that. Yeah. Well, I will tell you one thing. I would never see the top of that lighthouse because my legs would give out. That's like going up a stadium for me. I'm like, yep. Good. Wait, our seats aren't here? Like, I swear to God, that one time Carrie was going, I was like, oh, she's turned. Our seats are higher. And it was like my legs were like walking in, what is it?
Jello.
Yeah, like quicksand, though. Like, it was just like, they're thousands of pounds.
And like, the higher you get, the bigger the steps get. Yeah. I'm like, I'm tired. And you're making these steps bigger instead of smaller?
Right?
I can't pick my foot up that high anymore.
But I feel like it really would be cool. But I would have to, you're saying prep mentally and all of that for people who are sensitive. I would have to prep and do like the stair stepper for what? The stair master for, you know, like 5 months before then to get it to where I don't die. And I don't ruin the people's experience around me because they couldn't hear anything, see anything, do anything because I would be fanning myself. I would be sweating. I would be all the things. One other thing is that I'm glad that your boyfriend got that kind of confirmation when he was feeling sick because, I mean, I would have never been like, oh, something over here. Like, it was something supernatural or anything. I really would have been like, oh, I'm hungry because that has happened to me. But right there, he got that confirmation. So it's like, come on, what are the freaking odds? Okay, the next one. Hey, ladies, you are total queens. Sending all the love to you both. I would like to remain anonymous, and you can give me whatever name you like. What name, Carrie?
Sophia.
Okay, Sophia. This is true crime just for Carrie. When I was in eighth grade, my family attended a little church in Conroe, Texas, that I'm guessing maybe had 250 members. It was small and led by a pastor who was a former drug addict who got clean and dedicated his life to Christ. He had a wonderful wife and three kids who my sister and I would babysit for from time to time. Though Pastor Randy had no training with therapy, he was often counseling families in the church on family issues. For example, he told my stepdad that putting my older sister on birth control was not a good idea and that he needed to push abstinence instead. This was 1996-1997, so the wait till you're married thing was still a whole vibe over sex education. This led to my older sister getting pregnant with twins at 15. Whoopsie, I guess. Well, in the church, there is a 40-year-oldish couple who were married with two daughters, 8 and 12. They were receiving marriage counseling from Pastor Randy. Their names were Debbie and Stanley, and apparently this couple fought all the time, and things had escalated to mass chaos between the two. This couple had been married or together since their teen years, and were very codependent. I can remember them coming to church, and they rarely left each other's sides. Their daughters were so nice, and we played with them and attended church, functioned with them often. I guess Debbie and Stanley had both come to Pastor Randy and told him during one of these counseling sessions that they were to divorce, and he discouraged it, but did agree that the two needed to put some physical distance between them. He did encourage Stan to go back to the house, pack a bag, and find a place to cool off and stay a while. What he did not encourage or mention was 1, police presence, 2, a third party to keep the peace, 3, a place for their kids to go while Stan packed or moved out. Welp, this does not end well, ladies. So Stan went home to pack up his things. He ended up chasing Debbie through the house with a gun and into the master bedroom where they fought. Their 12-year-old daughter ran into the room to get in the middle of her parents who were fighting, and Stan reached over his daughter and hit Debbie in the head, killing her instantly. He then shot himself. His poor kids were left to run almost a half mile for help as they did not have a working telephone in the house. I still think about them both almost 30 years later.
Okay, I don't care if you are fucking ordained by God himself. If you have no background and no education in counseling, you got no fucking business counseling somebody. You could tell them what your Bible says, but you can't tell them like how to manage these relationships. Like that's, you're not qualified for that. And I just don't understand how these people aren't held liable for their actions. Well, the guy who murdered someone is really responsible, but I'm saying like, I don't know, like you're affecting people's lives, but that's not the takeaway here. The takeaway here is this motherfucker killed his family. Like why? Like what? Like, okay, so they argued all the time, but like, was there violence before? Like what made this escalate this way?
I don't know. But yeah, like you said, those three things could have prevented this. He had no formal training or anything like that.
And again, is this pastor responsible for this man's actions?
No.
No, absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But
they're going to him for counseling. They're not just going to him for like, again, what does the Bible say about divorce or what does this right. happen? Like they're going saying, we're going to get divorced because we can't be together anymore. And he's like, no, just go pack a bag. Like y'all go.
Yeah, go take a break for the weekend.
Yeah.
No, that's not sound advice. Wowza. I feel so sorry for those kids.
Seriously, me too. Like, especially the one, the 12-year-old who went in the middle of it, just trying to protect both of her parents, you know, just to like be the peacemaker there.
Which they probably had been being for years. But it's like, was there already violence? And did the pastor know that there was violence? Because that's really bad if they knew that there was violence and, you know, I don't know.
It's so hard. But I was going to say, again, to make it about me, I was talking to one of my coworkers and they were from California. And she was talking about all the sex ed that they had. And like, she had learned something about something. And I was like, we didn't have that. Like it was Mm-mm. abstinence and we really didn't even have that. It was just like, we don't talk about it. You don't right. do the sex. You right. know what I mean? And I was like, that is wild. I mean, it doesn't matter really what happens because people are going to make their own decisions, but you need to lay it out there for them, mm-hmm. you know, and definitely not like when someone's like, hey, I want to be on birth control. And then you're like, no, just don't have sex. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
How has that worked in previous centuries?
Right. Yeah.
And don't quote me on this because I'm not 100% sure I'm right on it. But I feel like studies show that by providing proper sex education, like you don't actually increase the amount of sexual activity that the kids are partaking in. They just know more about it. And in fact, I feel like you would increase people's ability, like with consent and all of that. But, you know, what do I know?
Here's the thing. We're not formally trained on it. So we're going to tell our opinions, but you're not coming to us saying, okay, here's what I need to know.
Yeah.
Because if you were, we'd say, we're not trained in this. We can help you find someone who is.
Yeah. I'm not the fucking superintendent making the decision on the fucking sex ed curriculum.
Yeah. We're like, we can just say our opinion. And that's what this pastor was doing. But in a way that it was like the word.
Yes. In a...
like an official capacity.
Yes. Okay, the next one. I hope I'm sending this to the right email address. Please don't use my name. Okay, pick one, Donna.
Blanche.
Knew it. Hey, ghouls. Of course, I have to start off by saying you're my absolute favorite podcast and I listen to you every day. And I've started from the newest to the oldest episodes and I'm currently on Sinister Sightings episode 75. Almost called up. This is my first time writing in, and I want to tell you the stories that I've experienced. I live in northwestern New Mexico near the biggest reservation for Native Americans in the United States, and it's the Navajo Nation. I'm half Navajo and half Zuni. I grew up on the reservation for half my life. I'm 23 right now, but sometimes would go back to the reservation to visit my grandparents and family who still live there. I was raised traditionally and was always told the do's and don'ts of being Navajo. Speaking from my personal experience and being Native American, skinwalkers are very real and nothing to be messed with, and they are not good people. Sometimes they are sent to you and do ill intentions, and sometimes you can stumble across them by accident, and they shouldn't be talked about, but I'll make the exceptions for y'all. When I was younger, I used to live in NHA housing, Navajo Housing Authority. We didn't have AC at the time, so we would sleep with the windows open and a fan on the windowsill to keep the room cool at night. I was sleeping with my older sister one night, and she stayed up late doing her homework. I woke up to my sister screaming at the top of her lungs and her hugging me with the blankets covering our faces. I was so scared, I was frozen, and my sister had me in a tight grip, and she was shaking. My parents came running into the room and asked us what was wrong, and my sister could hardly make a sentence, saying something was standing looking through the window. We all knew immediately what it was, a skinwalker. She explained to my parents it was a furry, tall person with bright red eyes and skin of an animal, and it left a bad stench in the room after taking off. My dad closed all the windows and kept us all in one room while he searched through the house and outside. He came back in and said he didn't see anything, but he did see footprints outside of my sister's window. Just then, my mom got our attention, saying she sees it outside and it was walking away next to our neighbor's house. I never looked out the window. Since that night, I do not sleep with my windows open ever. A few weeks go by and I woke up and the sun was barely rising to go for a run near my house. As I was crossing the road, a truck drove by and someone yelled my name. I had no idea who they were and I didn't recognize the vehicle. I continued with my run. As I was halfway to the top of the hill, I noticed an elder man dressed in traditional attire staring at the bottom of the hill, and I didn't think much of it because living on and near the reservation, there's always elders who dress traditionally. I made it to the top of the hill, and the older man was running behind me. I thought to myself, wow, he's super fast. I really did take my time on my run. So I run back down the hill and left him at the top of the hill. Halfway down, I look back, and he's still at the top of the hill. I finished my run, and he was at the bottom with me, standing several feet away from me. I know there's absolutely no way he would have made the distance and ran that fast in less time than I have. I was starting to get freaked out and get creepy vibes. Later that night, we were making dinner, and I noticed red glowing eyes coming from kitchen windows, and I yelled and told my mom, and she didn't see it. I told her what happened on my run, and she immediately called my grandparents, and yes, the old man was a skinwalker. I stopped going on my morning runs for a while after that, and sometimes won't go for runs at all. That's it for now. I'll write in some more when I can about paranormal things I've experienced. I know some people won't believe this story or make up rational theories, and trust me, I have too, but deep down, I know what I saw and what my family and I have experienced. Thank you so much for creating a community to share our stories. I appreciate you both very much, and I always have something to look forward to every week. Creep it real and don't get scared. Blanche, I ain't fucking with no skinwalker.
I believe you.
Me too. Like 1000% do not need to experience that shit for myself. I believe you.
Yeah, right there with you. Say no more.
Like, Blanche just on their freaking run and sees what they believe is just an elder of the freaking community, and then that dang thing's teleporting.
Right.
How do you know what it is when you're in that moment and it presents to you like something so benign?
Right. And then the red eyes later.
Nope.
Also, here's my problem is that I don't run, but I move so slowly that I'd be like, well, he probably could have made it.
Right.
Like, I've been like,
I am running slow.
Yeah. I would have been like, yeah, sorry.
But like, you would have heard him run past you.
Yeah.
He had to have if he was up there and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
That is so scary. Also, when you said you don't sleep with your windows open anymore, I was like, no. But then, I mean, you watch on like movies and stuff where people do live in like Oregon and things like that, where it's like, they do have their windows open. And I'm like, no, one, bugs and
facts.
Creepy crawlies and all of that. Okay. That will make me hurt myself.
Well, also it's a different climate, so they don't have the same kind of bug situation we do. So
true. But then two, I don't trust anything being open like that because you never know what's going to come in or who's going to come in. I'm really glad you're not our last story because I have to drive home after this. And I swear to God, what that reminds me of is a not deer. And in my head, I just thought about it. And I was like, oh gosh, get that out of your head before you leave. Okay, so here's the last one. Hi, ladies. I've wanted to send in a few stories about my husband, Matt. My name is Taylor, and I live in Nebraska. You're welcome to use my name, and I hope I hear my stories. Yes, I live in the Midwest, and it gets very cold here. No, Nebraska isn't covered in corn. We do have soybeans, too. We have the greatest zoo here, so you guys should come and visit it. My husband also helped build a snack shack down there. Trigger warning, there is mention of suicide. Seeing this word is still hard for me to type. My husband, Matt, wasn't perfect, which who is? But he was perfect to me and our four kids. He would always say he had four kids, even though two weren't biologically his, while I would say the same, even though one wasn't biologically mine. To explain more, he had one son from a previous relationship, and I had two sons from a previous relationship. Then we had our daughter together. We had our ups and our downs, as any married couple would, and I thought we would be together until we were old. While I was with him until the end of his life, I wish it was many, many, many years down the road, and we had shared many, many more anniversaries together. Plus, we had just bought our new house, so everyone had a place to be without being on top of each other, and now our kids were in school. But unfortunately, he was struggling more than I thought, and he lost his battle on November 29th, 2022, 5 days shy of my 30th birthday. Funny story about this was that he had gotten some things like balloons that said I was turning 31 because he had thought I was already 30. So he aged me a year. I thought it was too sweet and loved the gesture, though. We also had a laugh over it. I said, well, we can reuse them next year when I'm actually 31. We recently had his 1 year anniversary, if I want to call it this, of his passing. I still remember that day, and it can still get to me, but luckily our kids were asleep when everything happened. So please, if you're struggling, you will be missed, and everything will change for everyone in your life. So please reach out for help. You aren't a burden on anyone. I can't change the last thing I've said to my husband now, and that's all I wish I could do. If you know someone who's struggling, check in on them. If you're in the same boat as me, I'm happy to hear from you as well. So you are welcome to reach out to me on Facebook. We will continue to miss them for the rest of our lives, but having someone else who knows what you're feeling can help. Now on to the stories. This happened a few days later after that day. I was laying in my bed very late or early in the morning as I couldn't sleep, and I was crying hard because I was really missing him. As I laid there, all of a sudden, I was somewhere else that I can't explain where, and my husband was laying in front of me. I sat up looking at my husband, then looked over to my middle son and my daughter laying on the other side of me. My middle son yells, "It's Daddy," and points to him. My husband says, "It's Daddy." I went down to give my husband a hug, but then I was back in my bed in my house. But I felt peace, and I settled down. I was finally able to get to sleep after days of not being able to. I thought at first it was a dream, but I was awake and I haven't ever had a dream like that. After hearing about visitations, I think he visited me because he knew that would help me. I wish I could have more of these, but I think he shows signs other ways that he's still around us. Story 2. It was Christmas Eve night and the first Christmas we would have spent without him. My oldest son, who's 13, was helping me with getting the Christmas wrapping paper from our storage area that's underneath the stairs in our basement. I open the door to go into the storage area, grab the stuff, and try to hand it to him. However, I see him with his head turned around, and he's staring toward our pool table. I thought he was spacing out, and I'm like, "Really, kid?" So I call to him to get his attention. He turns his head towards me, and when he looked back at me, I see he had this shocked, puzzled look on his face. I asked him if he was okay, and he was like, "Yeah," and he grabbed the paper. But the next day, he shared with me that he had seen Matt walk from the pool table into the bathroom. It clicked in my head when I saw him staring in the opposite direction that it wasn't him spacing out, that this was when he saw Matt. My son also shared with me While he was hanging out in the room, out of the corner of his eye, he'd also seen Matt and a black dog walk from the hallway into my room numerous times. Sometimes at night, sometimes during the day, and sometimes even when he knows I'm in my room with the door closed. Now he has his door shut and he never keeps it open. Now, we have a dog, but our dog will also be with me in my room already when he has seen this black dog. I'm not sure who this black dog could be or why it's a dog, but I thought it was very sweet that Matt was showing himself to my son. My son took his death really hard, as Matt may not have been his bio dad, but he was his dad. Plus, they would drive me nuts, as I would say, y'all may not biologically be related, but y'all certainly act the same. Story three, last one. I had gotten these remembrance rings for my mother-in-law and myself. I ended up losing it one day and I was devastated. Funny thing was, same with my mother-in-law. We had searched our houses, but we couldn't find them. We immediately got replacement ones as they were very special to us. However, a few days later, I had gotten up and was walking out of my bedroom, but I had this feeling to look down towards my floor. And guess what I found? My ring. Now, mind you, I've walked past this area multiple times between the time I had lost it until then. This was near my light switch as well, so I would have stopped there and I would have seen it. My mother-in-law also found hers in a similar fashion. The only difference was that my brother-in-law found it in an area in her home which she had vacuumed and walked through multiple times. We think it was Matt who helped us find our rings as another sign he's around. Wish he would have done this sooner before I got the replacement, though. But I'm teasing and definitely not complaining, as it was another sign that I couldn't believe what had happened to us. That's all for now. I have finally worked up the nerve to send these stories in and read it over multiple times, so I hope it all makes sense. I also heard you needed stories, so I hope this helps. I have other stories that deal with our daughter and our dog, so if you'd like me to send those in as well, let me know. I appreciate your guys' podcast and all you do. You guys lighten up my day when I want to hear something spooky, but also need a laugh. Thanks for reading my story. Keep on creeping on and don't get scared. I think that's what the saying is. Thanks, Taylor.
God, Taylor, I'm so sorry for everything that y'all have been through. But it sounds like you and your kids have like really rallied together and it seems like it's brought y'all closer.
Yeah, really sorry for y'all's loss. And I love that you can hear that you are healing, because you're able to make those little like quips about him and those little jokes about the balloon. And, you know, like, I wish he would have found our ring sooner. Like, I think if you hadn't started healing, you wouldn't be able to make those jokes.
But why the black dog, I wonder?
I don't know.
Maybe, I wonder if it was like a dog from his childhood.
Oh, have my you God, asked? I literally thought that.
Yeah, ask your mother-in-law.
Because there was this TikTok that I saw, and it was like, who's going to be the first person you run to when you get to heaven? And this person showed their dog, mm-hmm. like, that had passed. And I was like, like, sent me over the edge. But so when you said, like, I wonder why a black dog, I was like, oh my God, what if?
Yeah.
Like, they finally got reunited. I don't know.
Yeah, I would ask your mother-in-law what dogs he had as a kid. Thank you for sharing that story, because whoever needed to hear it could hear it.
Yes. And also, full transparency, that story wasn't supposed to be read today. I had made an error and copied another email that we had already read. And so I had to like go to the next one that was available, and that was this email. So if you're someone like me, and I think like Carrie, who we believe like there's coincidences, but like also like things happen for a reason. So maybe this happened for a reason.
Thank y'all so much for listening and supporting us. Thank y'all for rallying and sending in all of these stories. Y'all, I'm still clenched, but we are okay, question mark. But I'm still clenched. But for real, thank y'all so much for sending all these stories. Don't forget, if you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.